Injured in a car accident? It's about money. Your money. Your settlement. We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery? You pay no fees or costs. We strive to get you more at LawyerUp 904, Jacksonville.
A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff Series. They are an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also, Ranger Aluminum Series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in San Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
Now, the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010XL.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Scott Shank. Captain Kevin Faber is off. He is, we don't call it OS show, you know, research kind of stuff on here. He's hunting. It's the rut, and then he's taking the week off, and he's in the woods, which is a great place because after yesterday's cold front moved through, it has gotten downright chilly for us guys that like to go fishing. I can tell you because I was out in it yesterday after the front moved, and it was a little nippy. We'll just jump in real quick just to throw it out there. Unfortunately, it looks like the offshore situation this weekend is gonna be out of the question again. Tomorrow's forecast Friday is north winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 3 feet with dominant period of 8 seconds. Saturday is north winds 10 to 15 knots, 3 to 4 feet with an 8 second dominant period. Sunday, north winds, and here comes another front, north winds 15 to 20 knots, 3 to 5, and a chance of rain, which comes in through Sunday night. They're calling, I guess, we're supposed to see a little bit of rain and stuff like that. And that's only out, 10 miles kind of thing. Out 20 miles. It's not going to be the prettiest. I don't like going anywhere offshore with the word north in it. That's just me. I've never seen a dominant wave period of a north wind at 10 to 15 knots with 8 second dominant wave period. I've never seen that before. So, I'm not going out in anything with the word north in it. But anyhow, the inshore fishing this week, I got to fish a few days this week, and the water temperature's definitely cooled down. It's jumping anywhere in St. Augustine, anywhere between like 61 and 66 degrees. Again, by the time you start in the morning, because we've had morning tides this week. So you will, with that being said, it's going to be 61, 62 degrees. And then by the time we get off the water at noontime, it's, right there at 65, 66 degrees. And, the nice thing to start seeing is the trout are starting to show up. So that's a nice little thing to start getting ready for. The sheephead bite down in St. Augustine has been, we're not going to call it insane yet, but if you want to go fishing and you got some fiddler crabs and all that kind of good stuff, they're a lot of male fish. Yeah. They're between 1 and 3 pounds. Oh, look what the cat blew in.
Hey, what's shaking, Bacon?
Captain Leon Dana joining me in the house. He's just a few minutes late, but that was the same way he was when we fished together that time. He was just a little bit late.
And here we go.
I just have the opportunity to bring it up every now and again, so why not?
Captain Asterisk.
Yep. I got it on my wall.
I'm glad you do.
Just letting you know.
Glad you do.
It's in a frame. It's on my wall.
Did you split that $50 with Ricky?
No.
Totally deserving.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It was a bet between me and you.
But yeah, and then you said, hey, let me throw in a rod and cast a little bit myself.
You got to
do what you got to do. That's right.
3-on-3. It was all legal. It's 3-on-3.
Okay.
The court was adjourned over it on Saturday, so we're...
filing an appeal.
You can file all the appeals you want. You'll never win.
Okay.
But anyhow, trout fishing, like I said, has picked up. It's not a lot of big fish, but they are starting to show up and stuff just to, you know, to throw another little thing to do. Again, yep, sheephead is getting better.
Flounder here.
I know, you and I have been texting back and forth every day, and we talk to each other every day. I truly do not have a problem in them doing this right now. I truly don't. And it's only going to help us down the road. Because you think about it, we catch those when we do catch those in the wintertime, they're a bycatch. We're hunting redfish, you know, we're hunting legal redfish. Yeah, I mean, we're, you know, black drum. You know, when we catch a flounder, it's like, whoa, it's a flounder, stop, easy, easy. You know, it's not, you know, May, June, July, you know, and August, you know, the summer months where we're predominantly, at least me is predominantly flounder fishing.
While I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, the only reason why I'm just doing a little heavy sigh is coming off of a heavy storm.
Yep.
And we're trying to get things back to normal. And when you get that nice 2-3 pound flounder that comes in that mix, you know, God, I wish I could keep that this day.
Nice bonus fish. I'm right there with you. You know,
that's the only way I'm going.
And I get that. And we're not looking at, you know, 20 or 30 of them bringing. No, we're catching one or two or three if we do. I did not see anything. And the funny thing is, like a Monday, it was a great day. The weather was absolutely gorgeous on Monday. Today's Thursday. And I did not find a rat red. I could not catch one to save my life. I caught a couple of short trout, but mm-hmm. I mean, I did have my 3 redfish that I needed. I had 3 guys mm-hmm. and, I caught some nice black drum. And that was kind of it. I didn't find any rat reds. I fished a lot of waters on Monday to do what I needed to do. Tuesday, was out again and caught a few redfish. This time the wind allowed me. I went to the jetties and I caught some sheephead on the jetties.
Right.
Some huge black margates. I had.
Oh, really?
I had like 4 of them, I think. I mean, like good ones, like good ones. And
margates are nice fish.
The mangoes are still around in this 62, 63 degree water.
Really?
Oh my gosh! I pulled up to I got a dock this time of year. And I pulled up there.
Is it the one that Ricky showed you?
No.
Oh.
And I catch a lot of drum underneath this one. It's on the main river. And I pulled up there, and, I mean, they just flat ate my shrimp up on me, and I had to move. And they were all like 8-9 inches long. They were
but
little
that's before
jokers.
The water temperature dropped. So.
Well, that was just because yesterday was when it dropped.
Yes, correct.
And like I said, it was so I was out doing some scouting, doing some other different stuff yesterday, and – it was so cool. I just let it warm up. I really wasn't worried about, you know, what I was just looking at different stuff. And, man, that front came. Captain Rob Bennett was fishing in the north. This is about 11:30 yesterday, folks.
Exactly.
And so I was south.
Rob was about half a mile to a mile max south of me.
So I'm south, and I had Captain Steve Cascio with me. We were just out messing around. And so Rob calls us first of all, Steve and I said, damn, Steve, look at that black. That's coming. I wonder. So we looked on our phones and I couldn't see.
There was no rain.
There was no rain. So I went, wow, that's black as coal. I wonder if that's sea fog or what it is. Anyhow, it was the front pushing our way. Well, Rob was up to the north by you
he
up
was
there.
In Capo.
And so I call him. I said, everything all right up there? I said, is that sea fog or what is it? He said, dude, I didn't bring enough clothes.
That's right.
He said I had a sweatshirt and just a rain, you know, a mist jacket because it was kind of that misty kind of morning, a windbreaker. Yeah. It was kind of misty a little in the morning. And he said, dude, I didn't wear enough clothes. He said, I am freezing. The temperature dropped 15 degrees. And so, you know,
minutes,
we had them. Yeah.
Literally minutes and a breeze.
I had it on, I had the speaker on the phones. Me and Steve were talking to him. And we're making fun of him because we're going, it's gorgeous down here. Da, 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 da.
Give it 20 minutes. Whoop, it'll be
that north wind came and it blew like 20 knots for half hour, 45 minutes.
Yep.
And, dude, talk about a temperature change.
Yep.
And it was like, whoops, sorry, Rob, we didn't, because we all hung up the phone.
Okay,
going,
you're right.
Yeah, whatever, you know, and called him. And then finally figured out, like, whoa, he wasn't joking.
Yep.
But that front came through, shut everything down.
Yep.
It completely just put the kibosh on whatever we were kind of playing with. And, back at the ramp by noon.
Yeah, I mean.
And it was cold.
I had no problem. My clients looked at me and they went, you know, we've caught enough fish. We're good. I went, thank you.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear that because, damn, this is cold. I had my my rain jacket.
Uh-huh.
I was able to throw that thing on.
Yep.
And that cuts the wind really nice. But, yes, I was just to the north of him, and that frontal boundary line was just coming. I go, gosh.
It was just amazing. I'm sorry. I know. I mean, I'm kind of a – I mean – I don't know. I love watching weather. I mean, that's what I – man, you spend more time on your phone looking at weather and all that than you do, you know, doing anything else.
Well, that's what we live and die by.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so cool to watch that edge roll in.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not believe, as dark as it was, if that was June, July, or August,
that would have had a lot of rain
and a lot of heat in it because I would be scared to death if I saw that. Offshore,
and you could look
so
left,
dark.
And you could look right, and you could just—I mean—that boundary line was just
because it wasn't like really the sun was out per se, Leon.
No, I agree.
You know, and so usually, like you have the sun backdropping a rain cloud, it does make it look a lot darker. But it wasn't really all that, you know, all that bright and sunny out yesterday. You know, it was warm when we left the dock. It was nice when we left the dock.
It was lovely.
It was like 70 degrees or something when we left the dock. And I think we come in, I think my truck said 55 or something like that when I got into the truck at 1.
57, I think that's what I read. Yeah.
It was cold. Oh, I'm just telling you,
it was cold.
It was cold.
When it drops like that and you're out in the open and then you have to run back 10, 15 miles across water.
Yep.
It's a night and day difference.
And I'm sorry. I guess it's just old age setting in or whatever. But, dude, you sent me that picture this morning. I know we talked at 5:30 this morning. Mm. Then you send me the picture at 7:30 of you leaving the dock with all these guys got these ski masks on and stuff like that.
You would have thought these guys were going to go rob a bank.
Go rob a bank. I mean, yes. I'm looking at all these clothes and I'm going, see, I'm sorry. But I guess that's why I just don't care about running a lot of trips in the wintertime. The fishing is great, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I guess I'm getting old. I just can't, dude, that just looked frigid. And tomorrow morning they're calling 41 or something like that.
It's
42.
Not necessarily the temperature. It's the wind that was behind it that cuts you so bad.
Well, I got to get there. I mean, what am I going to do? You want me to idle to everywhere? And I don't want to. That boat's going to run 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, I get it.
You know,
totally
I mean,
get it.
You know, Just like your hound, you know, your dog's at the house. Hang your head out that window and let me do 35 and see what you're going to feel like.
Yeah.
And I just can't get excited about going fishing when it's, when it's really cold.
The bite was decent today, okay? The only downside today is that it was a north wind that was coming out of the valley. And I had to cut my fishing spots by over 70%. Because I had to put the wind to the back of my client so they could cast.
Yep. Captain Rob Bennett didn't even make it up that far today. He said the river was just insane.
Yeah. Well, morning tide going out.
Yep.
And then we had a north wind.
Yep.
So I mean, it got. He said it was nasty.
Nasty.
For him.
And he said I just cut it short. He said I wasn't going to beat myself to death to get to wherever I was. He said so. I just.
I stayed in the creeks all day.
You know.
I got below that wind line and just did the best I could and. Literally, I fished for 3 hours struggling. I mean, I produced here and there one or two underslot reds. And I started at 8 o'clock. And by, at 11 o'clock, I finally, that sun came out. Wind died down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I went way back to the north, went back into one of my creeks. And we produced a nice slot red, a nice slot trout, about 8 or 9 more underslots. And by that time, my clients just looked at me and they went, "You know what? We're good."
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm again, whatever.
Old.
whatever. But it's just, it's so hard to get excited, at least in the fishing atmosphere. If you're a hunter, this is all you want right now.
Oh, absolutely.
You want a freeze. You want snow on the ground. You want all kinds of junk. But for us that fish, it's just, it's hard to get mentally in that mood. You got so much layers of clothes on. You got, you know, all this and stuff like that. It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, it can be uncomfortable. I understand it. But, you know, once again, I'll just circle back and say it's the damn wind.
Yeah.
Okay. That wind is the hardest part. Because
and it's north. So, I mean, it's not going
to light up.
It's nothing. I mean, I'm not, you know, not going to put no wrenches in, you know, and no irons. I'm just telling you what it looks like. Thanksgiving, it ain't getting no better through Thanksgiving.
It's not. And I mean, and for those of you that do like to fish and are willing to go out there and fish with us, understand there's going to be a whole lot less boat traffic out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one good thing about it. You're not going to see jet skis. You're not going to see wakeboarders. You're not going to see – I mean, I started off this morning, water temperature in the valley was 61 degrees.
Yep.
At noon, when I got off the water, it was 65 degrees, okay? It's going to probably – I bet it drops to 58, 59.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. What are they calling tonight? Like 42 or something up here?
Oh, it's going to be even colder.
Is it?
Oh, man. It's.
And the hardest thing – well, We'll get back to that when we come back. Let's take a quick break right here. You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. Captain Leon Dana, Captain Scott Shank. Be right back.
Welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010 XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, Captain Scott Shank. See, I can't use the me tonight, which is me. And I got Captain Leon Dana.
Got some second-rate captain sitting across
whatever.
The table from you.
Yeah, whatever. We were talking before we went on break, or took a commercial. It's so hard this time of year to talk to your clients on how to dress. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because
so
this is the first cold spell we're going to go through.
Correct.
Okay?
This is the first
one. We're all – hey, I was out in it yesterday. I was well unprepared. All I was wearing was a pair of jeans and a long-sleeve shirt and got caught in that front. I didn't have a jacket with me yesterday. So anyhow, I always tell people this time of year, whatever – I mean, one, it's so funny that hardly any of them watch news or stuff. I guess we're just so geeky nerd people that follow the news and weather so much that we know – what to dress and what to bring there for extra. Where when they get, I've had them get down in my boat and I understand they're, I mean, they are from whatever, Maryland or wherever that they come from. And here he shows up in a pair of shorts, you know,
flip flops
and a
tank top,
and a, you know, whatever. Yeah. Maybe a sweatshirt. And I'm going, really? Is that what you're going? Oh, dude, I know what cold is.
Okay, buddy.
There's two different colds.
Yep.
There's a dry cold and a wet cold.
Yep.
We are a wet cold. Okay, and wet cold hurts a lot more.
Sustained,
yes.
Wet cold.
It's way different than anything north of the Mason-Dixon line. I can promise you that. So,
there's people that'll say to you, "I never thought I could get this cold in Florida."
Oh, they're 100%.
Yes.
I've canceled. I mean, not canceled, but come back early.
Yes.
Because they said, "Dude, I can't even feel my hands."
I had a guy last year that got on my boat, shorts, t-shirt, flip flops. On the first run.
I think I remember that.
I got to my spot. The guy stood up, walked to the back of the boat, and wrapped himself around the cowling of my outboard.
Yep, I remember. I think I remember that. You tell me that. And, you know, and they're so funny. When I pull up to the dock here, I got, you know, a stocking cap on. I got, you know, three or four layers of clothes
on,
under me.
Gloves.
I got long johns on. Got gloves on.
Yep.
I got I wear a
socks.
Face shield, you know, up just to keep the sun, you know, because honestly, that's another thing you don't consider about putting on sunscreen this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use it, it helps you a little bit with the wind burn, at least for us.
A
neck gaiter is amazing.
Yes.
And actually, our good friends that we
love
to death.
Joey Broussard from ECS.
And Mark and Mary, really. I want to find, and Kevin's actually got one too, and I don't know where they got them from, and I got to find out this year. I want one of those furry ones that they got.
Okay. Oh, the hunting ones. Mark and Mary would know exactly.
Mark and Mary's
got them.
And I
got
to talk to them and see where they find them, because that makes, I mean, my biggest, if my feet get wet, my hands are fine. I can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the greatest, but I can deal with it. But boy, if my head gets cold, my feet gets cold, I'm done.
Hey, let me ask you a question. The fish you caught yesterday, were they cold?
Yep.
Mine weren't today. They weren't cold to the touch.
Well, now, really?
I was happy. Yeah, they were not cold fish. They were not cold.
And that's funny because, I mean, I caught fish and they were shallow and they were cold.
Mine were warm up here.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I mean, they were, you know, I mean, well enough that you could, you know, that you went, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I kept making context, that conversation with my contact. This fish is warm. I mean, these fish are not cold like the outside temperature is.
Huh.
Yeah, I was happy that.
But I was also fishing like a muddier Shelly Bottom, wasn't fishing Oyster Bottom.
I've been in the creeks the last, what, 3 days now.
No, I was on the main river shore.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. But, that's the lot. I mean, I'm just telling you, we all nicely, now that we finally convinced you and Chip that bigger boats are the way to go. And
bigger, better.
Not running in those beer cans you used to ride in. you stepped up to 45 to a 40.
Age will make you change.
But we all have enough dry storage, okay? So if you walk out of the house and your house is all hunky-dory and then you get in your vehicle and you've got the heater rolling, I'm just telling you, always just – I'm not asking you to bring a change of clothes. I don't need you to bring a suitcase. But it's not – there's always a need. Carry just an extra pair of pants. I mean, I even carry – I mean, I wear jeans and long johns, but I have a – pair of sweatpants that are even bigger. You know, just bigger, that I could just slide up real quick over my boots and everything, just for it.
Well, Scotty, this is one of the reasons why the night before, I always tell my clients, I will be in touch with you the day or the day before, and I, with a text or a phone call, and I reach out to them and I say, in my text, dress extremely for the weather.
Yep.
It's going to be cold on the, quote, run out.
Right.
It's so important when your guide tells you, believe me, just bring it. If you don't need it, we got a place to stash it.
Yep, it's not going to get wet where we got it. You can put it right back up on the shelf when we get home because it's not going to get wet. It's not going to get stinky. Nothing's going to happen.
Right.
We all have cabins in our boats and stuff like that you know, nothing will happen.
There was not one layer of clothing that came off today.
But no, heck and no. Like I said, I was trying to find more clothes to put on yesterday after the front went through, and I didn't have any except those big old life jackets. And I was like, dude, I was thinking about it.
Scotty, God, I don't want to see you wearing one of those big orange.
I have a big, huge Coast Guard approved, big old ones like the Coast Guard wears.
Yes, sir.
Big old vests. And, I was thinking about it.
Snug as a bug.
But, no, it's just anything this time of year, and honestly, truthfully, just the regular neoprene gloves just to wear on the ride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even while you fish, where you still have contact with your reel, which I wear them as well if I'm fishing, the latex gloves.
Right.
Just something to just keep the water off your hands, because I wear them in the wintertime when I'm getting shrimp out of the bucket or whatever. So it's just, you know, my hands kind of somewhat relatively stay warm.
Now, what baits are you using down south right now?
All shrimp.
Really?
All shrimp.
I'm using no shrimp up north.
All shrimp.
I'm using only muds up here.
Nope. What I've seen in the creek so far,
there's so much shrimp still in the – it's unbelievable how much shrimp in those creeks.
I'm doing nothing, not throwing anything. I did see Monday and Tuesday, which really kind of not surprised me, but it was not warm but not cold.
Mm-hmm.
The schools of finger malt that were still running around, and really pretty ones.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's exactly what Rob said to me, too. He goes, man, you would not believe the finger malt.
Yep.
I'm saying, really? Because all I'm seeing up here now are hog legs.
Nope.
Just monster
size. These are just little, gorgeous little
nuggets.
I tried to throw on them, but they were just tick you off. They're coming down the bank. You can see this big swimming V coming at you going, oh, and you got the net all choked up. And then all of a sudden – where did they go? You know, and they go down deeper enough where I can't.
Right.
I'm not going to bond cast because the water's 61 degrees and I really don't want to get wet.
Exactly. You have to pick. You know, I'm going to make one damn throw. Yep. That's it.
That's it.
I'm not going to get wet.
20 or 30, and that's all I need.
That's right.
And I'm just not going to make four or five throws over these things.
Oh, gosh, no.
If they're coming at me and I can get a lick on them, I'm going to take the lick.
I get it.
But they were really, I mean, I could see them.
Primaveras.
I could see them flipping out of the water. Oh, I knew that they were worth my time. And
are you seeing the mullet boats down there yet?
No, not yet. Oh. You got them up your way.
Oh, they're in the valley. Mm-hmm. Thick. They're moving.
Which, Which, with this wind now, with seeing more north and northeast, mm-hmm. you know, as it picked up today and through the rest, we're going to, within the next day or two, they'll all come down here.
To you.
Usually by Thanksgiving down here, it's usually over with.
I got you. Today they moved as far south as marker 18 today.
And
the 2 days before, they were underneath the bridge and north of the bridge. So, yeah, they're pushing down south. And the only reason why I saw them today with the wind was there was about 7 or 8 dolphin that had pinned them up against the bank, and it was just a murder fest.
Throwing them up in the air and all that. It's so much fun to watch.
I mean, it was like watching Tom Brady throw a ball back and forth. Yep. It was fun to watch. Yep. Yes, sir.
No, that's – and it's that time of year. It's mm-hmm. that time of year for it. You know, I know there's been a lot of phone calls, you know, people questioning, you know, hey, what do you think? The water has cleaned up after the storm, at least out of St. Augustine, okay, to where if you go and look at my FWC, they will show the open sites where you get oysters at right now. I know everybody's is getting holiday season and holiday time, and nothing tastes better than a good steamed oyster, and I get it. Just go on there and watch what's going on, and they'll tell you what the open zones are. But the water, it's not crystal clear, but it has cleaned up enough down in St. Augustine now.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, the water clarity. After the storm, the day after, it was pretty good, and then all of a sudden the next day, I was like, crap.
Dude, did you see how it got all like silty sandy up the next day?
Oh,
and I don't understand why it wouldn't have, through that 2 or 3 days of the storm. It took till after the storm was clear by a day and a half to get all silty.
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't make the call. I got a feeling they opened up a lot of the floodgates up in my area to release water out of
because of the highness of the tide.
Yes.
Okay.
I think they released a lot of water out of Sawgrass, the plantation, Marsh Landing, Sawgrass, stuff like that, because the water got really dirty again really quick, and I didn't expect that. And today, looking at the water, it was decent. It was getting a little bit better. But the weirdest thing is that most of the creeks that I fished, when I got back in those creeks, they were pretty darn clean. But the one creek that I went to that I did the best in, the water was terrible looking.
Really?
I mean, I was like, what? And I think it's because that creek leaches directly from Guana, from the north, the absolute north tip.
Okay.
And the water was just terrible coming out of there. But I did the best in that creek.
Okay. Dylan, did we have Corey? Was Corey on hold?
Yep.
Oh,
okay. We missed
Captain
him.
Corey.
We missed him. We're gonna pick him up. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast here on 1010 XL 19.5. Be right back.
M2, the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010 XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast here on a Thursday night from, we're always on, 10-10, 6 to 7 at night. One, we could bring in Captain Corey Sparks. We have a special caller with him tonight. Captain Chip's taking a night off. Harold, to answer your question, St. Augustine, the water temperature's bouncing again, depending on time of day and sun up and all that kind of stuff. But at least last 3 days was between 61 and 65, depending on what time of day.
And it's going to go lower.
And it's going to go lower after the next few days. And north winds start to kick in. You know, the westerly that we had earlier over the weekend and through Monday kind of, you know, still is somewhat of a land breeze, we'll call it. You know, so it's not going to let it fall, but it's definitely going to let it fall now. Corey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. Been fighting a little sinus infection, so excuse me how I sound, but
it's not like
got the text last minute, and I was
I'll
call in.
No, I know. Hey, I appreciate it. I don't know if I want to move up there in North County right there. You got Chips down with a back. You know, Skeeter's bringing him, you know, his adult beverages and his dinner, I heard.
Skeeter's a good dog.
Skeeter's a good dog, though, but anyhow. And I didn't know. Yeah, sorry, buddy. Golly. Everybody's fighting.
No, I'm thankful for the opportunity. I saw Leon's text and I said, "Yeah, I'll get on the horn." So,
what's been going on? I know you've been in the woods a little bit, which is a whole other situation, which is that time of year. But,
yeah,
fish is getting good. You know, I mean, it's just you got weather windows now to fish, and like Leon and I were talking, we went over the forecast. I mean, it looks skunky for the most part. You know, through Thanksgiving. You know, what I've seen so far. I mean, offshore is pretty much out.
That's completely out.
You know, but your inshore stuff that you got going on. I mean, you know, with the sheephead bite going on, I know you guys catch enough of them on fishing main shore lines or fishing, you know, in the back creeks compared to the guys down here fishing the bridges and stuff like that. But let me ask both of you: does anybody fish? What do we call on that bridge? The Palm Valley Bridge? Does anybody ever like sheephead fish around the Palm Valley Bridge?
You know, there's rocks at the base of the bridge. Corey and I can relate to that, and I side-scan the hell out of it. I've never seen really any fish sitting on those rocks close to the banks. I do see kayakers. Oh, they pick.
Yep.
They pick the docks, and they do well.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Is there good fish up there?
Yeah, those guys work it meticulously. Yeah, kayakers drill those docks because of their limited range, right. So it makes them work it, you know?
And like Corey said, they're like an ant. They meticulously pick every piling. I mean, they're spectacular. And they pull some decent sheephead off those docks.
Okay, I just didn't know that far up the river. Because you're kind of – you guys, where you're at right there, you're kind of pinned between the Beach Boulevard situation, you know, and the St. Augustine situation. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know, you know, if they are not
– It's worthwhile.
Not really water clarity involved, but like – tannin, you know, the salinity level involved. If you guys see a swing whenever it really starts cleaning up, all of a sudden you start catching, you know, more sheephead up there on the main shorelines or whatever because of salinity level. I really don't know the cycle of a sheephead. If they can handle like a redfish or, you know, a drum, you know, can handle a lower salinity level.
I think they do just fine. Okay. Corey and I have a number of spots, deep water, that we love to fish together. And there's a number of people that know particular pilings, channel markers that hold them in the valley also.
And over the last few years, we've had, I mean, it's not a consistent bite, but keeping in touch with each other, we've had some creeks or some bends or whatever you want to call them, gathering points where you can fish throughout the year, and all of a sudden, they will show up in some of those creeks up in Palm Valley, and you can slam them.
You can't.
But it's not all the time.
Gotcha.
You're right, Corey.
It's that just like anything else. You get a week, you get a window right there, and it might be a week here. You might not. Then you go back and go, okay, let's do it again. And they're not there, but, you know, 10 days down the road,
you
back again.
You remember that year the seal was in one of those creeks? That was a good year for sheep's head.
Yep. When the seal was in
you remember Barge that, Leon? Creek? I mean.
I remember old Flipper. Yes, sir.
What was that, 4 years ago now? 3 years ago now?
It's been a few years now. I know it's been.
I mean, I still got the pictures on my phone, and I got to look at it. I think it's 3 years ago.
Probably 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I still got the pictures. Yeah. I
mean, Corey, with this temperature dropping, I know you're probably going to look forward to trout fishing. I know how much you enjoy doing that here in the valley. You want
to? Yeah. I've got a trip tomorrow, and I'll probably bring a couple like MR-17 type deals or maybe Heavy Deans just to have. These guys are good anglers, and but I'm hoping, I don't know, Leon, if you've been on any drum, but I'm going to hit my drum shell bars for sure.
Yep.
The clients that I've been fishing with lately have not been, especially with the wind that I had today. I didn't even put that in the game. That was not even.
It's so patient. It's such a light bite. It's such a learning curve. You know, because most people,
like
sheephead. Well, that's it. You get two or three bites, and you're just like, oh, should I? Dude, just
relax.
The line hasn't pulled tight yet. He ain't walked off, you know. And the hardest thing is what I have to learn is because we all talk differently.
Correct.
100%. Yeah. Okay, a fisherman talks differently. Don't care what anybody says. You know, stay tight on them is one of my great things. That means keep that rod always bent over till it almost breaks.
Keep
okay.
Up the slack
You know, take up the slack. What is that? You know, that means, again, you know, keep your line tight. Hold the rod high. You know, I mean, it's just there's language and lingo that we use that I actually got to stop and think about, Corey, and go, dang, I need to do this at the same time you do the safety report thing in the morning. Is here's the kind of the three or four kind of things you're going to hear come out of my mouth at all times. Don't pull hard or whatever. That just means keep them tight, but don't, you know, rear back, yep. You know, and it's so hard. You try to tell them this in the middle of the fight, and I'm not going to say half the time, but there's probably a third or a quarter of a time I'll lose a fish because they go, huh? And they turn and look at you, and, you know, it goes limp or whatever, you know, whatever happens that, you know, for that to happen, you know.
And Lee, that's something that Leon's great at, too. We pull away from the dock and we're chit-chatting with their clients and whatnot, and he goes through that rod or casting, or it's a big part. And a lot of times people just step down the boat and they're chit-chatting, and the last thing you want is them to, or they want to do, is focus and listen. You know, they're excited, but it's important. It's a big part of feeling that bite, for sure.
Well, and Corey, I have spots that I fish that it's literally, again, a term we call dead sticking. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It has nothing to do. I don't want you to sneeze. I don't want you to even pull it an inch. I want you to just throw it up current and just let the current and just keep the line tight and just let it just float right by you. You know, and I mean, guys were not by any means rolling them like spinnerbaits, but they were kind of like hopping it and stuff like that. And they kept casting there. I'm going, there's no way you guys aren't getting bit. And I hate to say it, but I picked up a rod.
Watch this. Okay, watch when
it and it went and doink, you know, here you go, you know, 25-inch redfish.
Right.
You know, and he goes, well, wait a minute. Yeah. We just made a cast through there.
No, you didn't do it the way I told you to do it.
What I told you, and that is don't move it. There's spots that you can and spots that you can't.
That's
and like
right.
I tell everybody, Corey, the tide is your friend.
Yes, it is.
Let the tide do what it does. Whether I... You know, guys, I mean, I'm different. Maybe I'm fishing a dock where I'll put the trolling motor into the tide and make you flip underneath the dock and kind of work it back to me. But in that same time, to explain that kind of technique, at least with me, it's not that I want you to keep pulling away from the dock. All I want you to do is lift the rod 6 inches and let the bait hop. And just kind of keep doing that, then reel down and pick up your slack.
Right.
Where you're leaving, each hop might only, even though you might feel as though you're moving it 6 or 8 inches, but by the time you set it back on the bottom, it's moved back 3 inches against the tide. So that bait is staying that whole time, what I would consider the strike zone, which would be up and around that dock or by the piling or whatever, because that's where he's going to live at. So the longer that I can do it, because it doesn't do you any good on a tide to throw it up under against the piling like that and just and dead stick the bait for the most part, because the bait's going to end up floating off the bottom with the current. So as long as you kind of put a little bit of movement, but again, it's all about trying to do our best to explain how to catch these fish, because we all fish these spots day in and day out. Because Leon says I only have 3 spots, so I fish these spots day in and day out.
Well, Leon knows they work pretty good, right?
Yeah, you should know by now. Because I lost, I had four until that dang dock got torn out by the last hurricane. So I don't have that one anymore. So I'm down to 3.
You're horrible, Corey.
So
I had to go in there. I figured that's all we'd talk about tonight again.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry.
We could if we wanted to. Trust me.
It could go on for hours. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it really is, Corey. And I mean, the best for us to do is as long as, like I tell, dude, I'm telling y'all, if y'all listen to me, we're gonna have a banner day. You know,
that is one of the hardest things to tell people too, because you get, well, I've, you know, building my client base, I get a lot of families that may be new to it or not all that experienced, and everybody wants to throw out and let it just hang in the current in the back of the boat. And like we're talking, you know, the current's your friend, that's your movement, and it's so hard to get them to throw up to where it's not going to be in 15 seconds.
Yep.
But that's how you get the bite in the valley. So
yeah. And this time of year now, guys, I'm going to be going, depending on how many people I got in the boat.
True.
But I'll be throwing a lot more poppy corks. I know, Corey, that you like to fish the standard, the old style float rigs and stuff like that. But I love poppy corks, but it's so hard to do it if you have over three people, or over 2 people, really. I mean, because it's just a solid pain in the butt. So I do my best to only do it when I have 2 people, but man, I'm sorry, I'm still a kid at heart. I'd love watching a float go down. I mean, there's nothing funner to see a float go down.
And the worst is if you have 3 people and you got 2 corks going.
Yep.
And the corks are going down, and the third guy's looking at you like, can I get a cork cap?
No. If you teach the other two how to mend their line like a fly fisherman, then we can do that.
Yeah.
That's just a whole nother work.
That's a whole nother thing.
That's a whole nother.
Thanks, Corey. I appreciate you helping me out and filling in tonight. We got to take a break real quick. Last one.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Corey. You listen to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast here on 1010 XL 92.5. Captain Leon Dana, Captain Scott Shank.
That's right me. Back.
Welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010 XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. Captain Scott Shank, Captain Leon Dana. Real quick, want to go to the lines, talk to Seth. We'll run out of time, but I want to hear what he's got to say. Seth, good evening.
Hey, good evening, guys. Real quick here. I know you're running out of time. I just want to give a shout-out to all you captains, and especially Captain Corey. We went on a half-day charter about 3 or 4 years ago. I took my son, Max, and it was an unbelievable experience. Max hooked into about a 28-inch red, and that was the first redfish he had ever caught.
He's ruined.
You know, I know, but we still have the photos. And, you know, I know it. You guys do this for a living, but you also do it for more than that because you help everybody. You help these people create these memories. And every time I look at the photos of that day, it's just, I'll never forget it for as long as I live. And we're just grateful that we had the opportunity to do that.
Well, Seth, we appreciate that. And honestly, when people call me and they say, oh, well, I got me and Ren and we got two kids. Congratulations. Guess what? You two old guys are in charge of your own day. I mean, because it's not about you. It's about getting these kids first, to get them involved in it and getting to love what the whole reason we've been doing this. I mean, been doing it for 34 years. I mean, I've been doing it the day I got out of high school and graduated. I've been a charter captain. And it's because I love the sport and I love what's there. And, you know, the passion still needs to get carried on. Yes. Okay. We all have done it a long time. You lived on the water a long time. So, you know, you just like any job, you know, it's never getting old, but you're ready to pass it on to the next generation. And I have seen a lot of stuff. There's still a lot of stuff I still, you know, get to see every day that is new to me as well. And I truly enjoy what I do, and I tell the parents, don't take this, you know, badly, but yes, it's not about you guys. We want the kids to have a blast today. It's nothing about you.
Yeah, that's how it should be. And you know, kudos to all you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, and we appreciate you very much.
Seth, thank you very much. Thanks, I know Captain Corey's listening, and he appreciates it very much. Thank you.
Everybody.
Have a good night. That was nice of him. Corey's such a great guy.
Sparky's great.
He is so soft-spoken. He's nothing like me and you.
Oh, my God.
You know, no, if you want somebody that laughs and jokes and makes fun of you, then you got us.
Then you got us.
Okay. Corey is just Corey, and Corey's just a great guy.
Corey's humble. He's soft-spoken. Yep. He works amazing with children. Yep. He has three of his own. He has three rat reds of his own.
Yep.
He is phenomenal, and he's able to break – he's able to get across to his clients quite quickly and easily and professionally.
Better than we are with older kids and all that kind of stuff.
He's great.
Nope, he knows how to deal with it.
Yes, he
folks,
does.
Leon, thank you for coming in a little bit late. But I appreciate it. You know, you did come in to give me a hand tonight. Kevin's on vacation.
What can I say? I mean,
all right, folks, don't forget,
more fish than you did.
This weekend, folks, don't forget this weekend on Saturday, 7 o'clock, the outdoor show. Guess what? It's going to be Captain Kirk, Captain Kevin, and guess who? It's going to be me. I'm joining the boys Saturday morning from 7 to 10.
Nice
on 1010 XL, and we are going to be here in studio this week. And then, of course, folks, sorry, but there's a holiday going to get thrown in the mix next Thursday.
I'm still fishing.
I'm not fishing, but we won't be here. So anyhow, please have a safe holiday, and it is the kickoff, I guess you want to call it, of holiday season.
Yep. Let the parties begin.
Everybody have a safe, wonderful,
happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. Get fat, sit on the couch, take a nap,
Or come fishing with us.
Or come fishing with us, whatever. Just not on Thursday. I get yelled at by the grandkids if I fish on Thursday. Folks, thanks a lot. You were listening to Ring Power Fishing Forecast. I don't know whether I got that stuck in my head. Ring Power Fishing Forecast here on 1010XL 19.5. For Captain Leon Dana, Captain Scott Shank. See ya.